I dreamed my life was over, and I faced the judgment day. I stood before the Father, not knowing what to say. My life was like an open book, laid out before the throne, where every thought and deed would certainly be known. I pondered every hour, accounting for my days, the years of faithful service, and the times I went astray. No righteousness to call my own, no goodness could I plead. But then the Son of God arose and testified for me. Under cross-examination, this one called upon my name. Under cross-examination, he is free of any blame. When you look upon his life, you'll see the blood I shed at Calvary. Now his every sin is gone without a trace. Under cross-examination, I rest my case. But could no other witness, no one else need testify. The blood of Christ that covered me could never be denied. Justice meant forgiveness, and Jesus paid the cost. My innocence was proven by examining the cross. Under cross-examination, this one called upon my name. Under cross-examination, he is free of any blame. When you look upon his life, you'll see the blood I shed at Calvary. Now his every sin is gone without a trace. Under cross-examination, I rest my case. Under cross-examination, I rest my
tonight and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm so thankful that our righteousness is not based on our own righteousness, but on the blood of Jesus Christ. I was had lunch yesterday with a young adult that's been coming here for a few weeks now, and I asked him, if you know for sure if you die, you go to heaven. And he said, absolutely. Or he said, absolutely. He said, yeah, I do. I said, great. How do you know? We were going through, call them gospel appointments, and I had just the iPad out, and we were just kind of going through a little lesson there. We have some different questions on there. It was actually really neat. And he said, because I'm trying my best. He's like, you know, I haven't gone to church for a long time since I was a little kid, and I'm giving a really good effort. And one day I believe that when I stand before God, then God's going to see my heart. And because of that, I'm going to get into heaven. I was like, that's awesome. That's so good. Now let's look at what the Bible says. And we talked about Jesus, and there's a little five-question test on there as far as different things. Have you lied? Have you stolen? And, you know, God goes down the list. And he was like, well, actually, I'm guilty. I probably aren't good enough to go to heaven. I'm thankful that he got saved yesterday, which is so awesome. But it's the righteousness of Jesus. It's not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ on our behalf. And I'm so thankful for that. If you want to stand together as we read, if you're physically able, as we read the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 11. I love kids. Kids are so honest and sometimes a little too honest, if you know what I'm saying. Today I got called 83 years old. There's a 7-year-old boy. A kid didn't want to listen to me, and he goes, no, you need to listen to Brother Nate. He's 83 years old. And I looked at him, I said, Shane, how old am I? He said, you're 83 years old. That's what you told me. I said, no, Shane, I'm not 83. I'm 23. Just to get a numbers mixed around a little bit there. And on Wednesday, I'm in Main Street Discipleship with the kids. We've just been having a good time just teaching about prayer, the different things. And I taught the lesson that night. We taught about how the Bible says in Psalms about how I made haste to obey the Lord. That's what I wanted to obey God right away. We talked about obeying God. And if you've taught kids for very long, or if you've taught anything very long, you understand sometimes you walk out and you're like, I did a good job. And sometimes you walk out and you're like, I just snuck it up today, you know. So I asked after the lesson, I said, what did you guys learn today? And the girl, she was like, raised her hand. She told me all about the story. I was like, great, you know, maybe it clicked, connect the dots, you know. And I said, okay, now what can you learn from your life? Like, how can you apply your life? And she was like, Brother Nate, I'm going to be honest. I don't understand what you're trying to get across today. I understand the story, but I don't know what you're trying to prove today. And I was like, great, I did a good job tonight. But a little humbling there. But Hebrews chapter 11, hopefully you guys will understand what we're talking about at the end of this message, the next half hour or so, as we talk about moving forward in faith. Hebrews chapter 11, now I understand sometimes there are these familiar passages. It's like the light switch gets flipped off. It's like, okay, tell me something I don't know, and I can't say that I can tell you anything you don't know. But hopefully with God's help, we can get into the text a little bit and help us grow in our faith. Tonight, the Bible says in verse number 4 of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. That'd be pretty cool. The Bible says he didn't die and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Wow, what a testimony. He pleased God. The Bible says in the Old Testament that he walked with God. Verse number 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Such a simple truth, so profound, but sometimes very difficult to live out. Verse number 7, by faith, Noah, that's that guy with the ark and the big boat and all the rain and all that good stuff, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Verse number 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Let's have a word of prayer together as we get started. Jesus, we just ask you that we could just grow tonight together. And God, we could just grow in our faith. And we so understand the world that we live in and how being a Christian these days is not easy. Being a Christian these days is not popular. But God, I pray that I can encourage the folks tonight. I just pray that I would say what you want me to say and would not say what you don't want me to say. Grow us together, work in our lives, the moments that we have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You guys can have a seat. Having faith is not a spiritual gift. Having faith is a spiritual outgrowth of our time spent in the Word of God. You ever thought about how much we use faith? You ever thought about how often in our daily lives faith takes place? Tonight when you walked in and you sat down in the place that you're sitting, I think when you sat down, you had complete faith that that pew would not fall over. When you sat down, you had complete trust that you would sit down and the pew would hold you up. You probably didn't even think about it. You probably just sat down. I think about going to the doctor. I hate going to the doctor. I'm not a doctor's office kind of person. I know some people love going to the doctor's office. Definitely not me. But think about when you go to the doctor, how much faith it takes. You go to a doctor whose name you can't pronounce, whose degrees you've never verified. He went to a college that you've never been to, in a state you've probably never gone to. He gives you a prescription that you can't read. You take it to a pharmacist that you've never seen before. He gives you a chemical compound you can't understand. Then you go home and take the pill and expect you're going to feel better. You ever go through a drive-thru? Question. Can you guys give me an answer for this? How come every time I go through a drive-thru, I wonder if that person speaks in English or not? I was going through the Burger King on Air Base Parkway and Walters Road on this past week. And they kind of redid it up a little bit. They make it pretty now. So I was going through the drive-thru there. You can't eat inside. It's one of the drive-thru only kind of places. And the lady... And I'm like, okay, I want a number, whatever I want. I can't remember, like the chicken sandwich kind of thing. And she said something back to me, and she was like, Whopper value meal? And I'm like, no, like I want a chicken sandwich meal. And it was like, we spent like literally a minute trying just to get the order right. But I took my order. I've never been inside that Burger King before because you can't go inside. I gave her my order. She probably gave it to some teenager in the back
whose parents made him get a job. I didn't see the instrument that he used, the knife that he used to cut, or anything like that. I didn't see the ingredients. I don't know where it came from. I don't know how it was made. I don't know anything about inside that restaurant. And I go around and give that lady my money, and she gives me food and I eat it. Didn't think nothing about it. Faith. We all have it. The question is, where is our faith directed toward? People say this, "I don't have faith." That's not true. We all have faith. The question in our lives is, what object have we directed our faith towards? Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter of normal people that by faith moved forward in extraordinary ways. And at the end of Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to talk about some of the things that they did. The Bible says, I'm in verse number 33, who through faith they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, they waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Wow, these people did incredible things by faith. I wonder, in your spiritual life, are you moving forward in your spiritual life, honestly? I know you're here on a Sunday night, pat yourself on the back, great Christian night, but seriously, like, are we really moving forward in faith? I encourage you to use your outline tonight. I think it's in the bulletin. If you didn't get one, it might not be a bad idea to get one, because we're going to look at some things in here, some different quotes and whatnot, as we dig into our message tonight. I want us to notice, first of all, examples of faith. We see in Hebrews chapter 11, first of all, that faith is demonstrated, letter A. We see that faith is demonstrated. Abel, what did he do in this text? He offered a sacrifice. Noah built an ark when there had never been rain before. Abraham sojourned in the wilderness trying to find a city, and he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He was willing to do that. I think of Sarah. She conceived a child in her old age. Isaac, he blessed Jacob. Moses refused to be called Pharaoh's son. And as we read on in the text, we see faith was demonstrated. You see, faith always has works that follows it. We are not saved by works, but we are saved by faith that always produces works. Okay? We are not saved by works, but we are saved by faith that always produces works. James chapter number 2, which sometimes is a confused passage, the Bible says this. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, my friend, tonight, that our works show where our faith lies. The actions that we live in our everyday lives show where our faith is centered on and where our faith is grounded. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 8, and Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that the virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came forth trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. And now she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. A lady just believed that if I touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, I can be healed. I think of Peter. I think of how faith allowed Peter to walk on water. I think of Gideon, a man with an army of just 300 men in simple obedience in faith, defeated an army of over 100,000 men. I think of David, just a shepherd boy, defeated the giant Goliath. And I'm not telling you guys anything new, but what I am saying is this, that with faith, we can accomplish things. And without faith, we can't. You see, my friend, if you believe God can, you're right. But if you believe God can't, you're right as well. What do you mean to it? What do you mean by that? I'll tell you this. The Bible says in Matthew that Jesus went to one place and he healed everybody there. The Bible says he went to another place and he healed hardly anybody there because they did not believe. You see, we need to be people of faith because faith is what will propel us in our Christian life. Have you ever had faith and just done something crazy? Like, I don't even mean like spiritual. I just mean like you had faith. You thought something would work out and maybe it did, maybe it didn't. Let me introduce you to my faith walk when it came to liver. Like the type of liver that you're supposed to eat. So I was at somebody's house. I was at Mrs. White's house a few years ago. And she was making liver. And I've never had liver in my life up to that point. Praise the Lord. And she was cooking this liver. And she had this like... this gravy on it and stuff, and what it looked like was steak. And she was like, yeah, you'll like liver. I'm like, I've never had liver before. But the way she's making it, she's got the gravy on it. She's got the onions on it, grilled onions. I mean, it was looking really good. So she said, yeah, you should try it. You'll really like it. So I'm like, really, are you sure? And I mean, it smelled good. The gravy smelled good, at least. And the gravy smelled good. And I was getting pretty excited about it, you know. And man was there, and Rachel, and they were all talking it up, you know, how great it is. And I'm thinking, well, you know, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do, you know. So she makes me a plate, and she gives me the plate. And it looked like steak. Like, I really thought it was steak. So I'm pretty excited about it. I was hungry. When am I not hungry? So I'm hungry, and I dig into it, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, man, this looks really good. And then I took a bite of it. Now, I was always taught, you go to somebody's house, if you put it in, anywhere, you put it in your mouth, you just swallow it. That's just what you do. That's respectful, okay? I try to keep that rule. I put that thing in my mouth. There's only one place that thing was going, and it wasn't down in my stomach. And I had faith. I thought that liver would taste like steak, and buddy, was I wrong. What we have faith in will produce works. I had faith that that thing would taste good, and my works followed, and buddy, I had some lame faith at that point. But I wonder this, how are you demonstrating your faith in God? I demonstrated my faith in that tasting good by taking a bite, but how are you demonstrating your faith in God? This is what I mean. How is your faith being lived out? What are you doing right now that, well, I'm not very comfortable doing it, but it's a faith step, but I just got to do it because I know this is what God wants me to do. What are you doing in faith? How are you demonstrating your faith to people? You see, in Hebrews chapter 11, these people's, their faith was demonstrated, but we also see that faith is motivating, letter B. Have you ever read the book of Acts? You're reading Acts and you're like, man, this is so awesome. Like, how do they do that? I want to do this. You know, you see Peter and John and they go into the temple and they heal the lame man. And you see the church, they're having a prayer meeting with 120 people. And you're like, this is stinking awesome. Peter goes up there and preaches and all these people are getting saved and disciples are being made and churches are being planted. And you're seeing all this and you're like, man, this is motivating. I want to do something like this. Am I the only one that's done that? And I see people do things, I'm like, man, that is so awesome. And we got to think about something. When Hebrews and the Jews at this point, and the Christianity at this point, when this book is written, this is written in the time of the Roman Empire. These are written in the days of Nero. Christianity was spreading at a rapid rate in the midst of extreme persecution and martyrdom. You see, Nero, we understand he literally lit his gardens at night to have his parties with Christians. Like at night, Christians, he would light them on fire and martyr them, and that's how they would have light for his garden parties. Now, the crazy thing is this, is in the midst of all that intense persecution, Christianity was spreading at an incredible rate. And you know why? Because people saw that it was real. People saw that Christianity was real, and they were motivated by that. And I'll tell you, my friend, if we will live out real faith, we will motivate people. When people see real faith being lived out, it's almost irresistible. And faith is not only demonstrated in Hebrews chapter 11, but faith is motivating. And I'm going to say this, that there is somebody in your life that is watching you. They are watching you. And it is our job to live out the faith in front of them. You see, there are examples of faith here. But would it be possible for me and you to experience the same faith that the Hebrews chapter 11 people had? Number two, experiencing faith. Let's take our Bibles. I know it's an outline, but I want us to look, if we could, in Romans chapter 10. I want us to understand something. That this is really cool because we can have faith. If you do have a Bible, I encourage you to turn there. If you don't have a Bible, let me encourage you to download an app on your iPad or your iPhone or the Android market called YouVersion. It is an awesome free app that you can get. I love it. Easy to use in multiple places. I don't carry my Bible around everywhere, but I always carry my cell phone around everywhere, so I always have the Bible with me. But Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, the Bible says this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Pretty simple. How do you get more faith? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Now, Romans, okay, Romans was written to the Romans at the Church of Rome during the terrible persecution that's going on during the Roman Empire. So people are dying, Christians are being martyred, and Paul says this: you want faith? Hear the word of God. I found something. Let's put it up here. I put one quote on the screen today, and I want us to get it, okay? There's a direct correlation between your faith and what you allow to influence you. Get this, okay? If we were in a class right now, I would say, hey, let's write this down, okay? There's a direct correlation between your faith and what you allow to influence you. A direct correlation. I mean, a direct, striking correlation between what you allow to influence you and the amount of faith that you have. You see, letter A, faith comes by hearing. Faith is developed and faith is dependent on hearing. The Christians at Rome here, in Romans chapter 10, they had to make a choice. What are they going to allow to influence their faith? Who are they going to spend time with? What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? And I want to tell you this, what you allow to influence you Monday through Saturday will determine the faith that you have. I can promise you this, if you spend hours and hours watching the news, you won't have much faith. You just won't. If you spend hours and hours reading all the internet articles about everything going on in the Middle East and all this stuff, and that's what you do, that's your pastime, I promise you, you're not going to have much faith. You're going to be discouraged about, man, the world's ending. I better go to the store and get all my food. And, you know, because what you allow to influence you is a direct correlation to how much faith you have. And sometimes we wonder why we don't have faith, and I wonder what do we allow to influence us. Gas prices are pretty much ridiculous. I have a 2006 Ford Explorer, a 20-gallon tank, and I fill up half a tank every week. Sometimes I got a little bit more, but I try to keep about a half a tank, and it's about $40, $42 or something. If I throw a car wash down there, about $48 a week kind of thing with the gas. And I don't like filling up gas, okay? If you like filling up gas, I'll give you my keys and you can go do it tomorrow. It's about that time. I do it on Monday, okay? So if that's your thing, that's your MO, then you can go and fill up my gas tank. But I don't like doing that. None of us like doing that. We're busy. We don't have time for that. We got jobs. You guys got kids going to school. You don't have time to go and fill up your gas tank. But I bet every week you probably do it. Because without it, you're not going to go anywhere. It takes work to have faith. But without it, we're not going to go anywhere spiritually. And sometimes I think we place a higher priority on the mundane, what we can see every day, than having a living faith that will produce real Christians. You see, these people, they were dependent on the hearing of the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Could the reason be that we don't have faith because we don't spend time in the Word of God? Let me ask you a question. You don't have to, like, no elbows here or anything like that, okay? How many of you guys spend genuine time in the Word of God this past week? Where at in your Bible are you reading right now? How much time did you spend meditating on the Scriptures last week? And you wonder why you don't have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The amount of time you spend in this book has a direct correlation to how much faith you have. When we turn off the news and turn on the Word, our faith grows. And there's a direct correlation between our hearing and our faith that grows. Notice letter B. Faith is developed intentionally. Faith is developed intentionally. Faith is developed intentionally. It takes a diligent Christian to have meaningful time in the Word of God. Look, we can all fake it, guys. We are really good fakers, okay? I can come here and I can wear a nice tie and a suit coat and everybody thinks I'm Mr. Spiritual. But that doesn't mean anything, guys. I'm talking about going out of here and really spending time in the Word of God every single day. I'm talking about being a real Christian. And your faith is not going to grow accidentally. Your faith is not going to happen just like, oh, it's under a rock. I got a big piece of faith. No, it's not. It's going to be a personal decision that you have to make. Now, how can we do it? I want you guys to look in your outline there. I hope you're in there. I have a little box, tips for having a faithful Christian life. Number one, make God's church and God's people a priority. make God's church and God's people a priority. Hebrews chapter 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, the Bible says, okay? Make the house of God and the people of God a priority in your life. It seems basic, but so few Christians do it. It seems like, okay, it's Sunday, you go to church, but it seems like we're really good at making excuses. Look, make the word of God and make the people of God a priority. Number two, have a daily quiet time with God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Look, I don't. You can call it devotion, you can call it walk with God, you can call it whatever you want. I don't care what you call it, just do it, okay? Have a daily quiet time with God. Look, have a time and have a place. I am forever talking young adults. Look, you got to have a time where you read your Bible. Morning, afternoon, night, and you got to have a place that you do it. In your bedroom, on the couch, in the, you know, at a park somewhere, whatever. You got to have a time, you got to have a place. And some of us are like, okay, this is elementary. Well, then we got to do it. We got to have a time, we got to have a place where it's genuine time in the Word of God. And I'm not just talking about, okay, I read my four chapters of the day, check it off, March 18th, I will see you tomorrow. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting in the Word of God and really meditating on it. You know what? You know what would be more obedient to God is if you read five verses and meditated on it than if you read 15 chapters and got nothing from it? Sometimes we're all about the quantity of the scriptures and not about the quality of our meditation. May I remind you in Joshua chapter 1 that we have good success by the amount of time we spend meditating on the Word of God? Joshua said this, I do it day and night. And you will not find a lot in the Bible about reading the Bible other than in Revelation, but you will find a whole lot about meditating on the truths of the Word of God. Because as you meditate on the Scriptures consume you and they get inside of you. You saturate them up. I tell them all the time, it's like that guy or the girl that you like. When you married folks, when you were dating, guess who you thought about all the time? The person you're married to, hopefully. So now guess what? You really like them. You develop this love and this passion for them. Why? Because you meditated on them. And I just think that sometimes that we lose faith, and sometimes it's like the Bible is something that it's like, I have to do it. Oh, five chapters, I'm never going to do it. Because we're all about reading so much, and we don't really meditate on the Scripture. Have a daily quiet time with God. Number three, subscribe to a free weekly podcast / devotional that will give you additional Bible preaching. And I think we have some up on the screens. Some of you guys that are wondering, what is a podcast? Okay, this is what a podcast is. A podcast is something that you can download on iTunes, just totally free, and you can go to these different websites and you can press it download and it will come right up on your computer and you will listen to it. Now, there are several great places to get Bible preaching and Bible teaching, but here are three. Preaching.lancasterbaptist.org/podcast, intouch.org/broadcast/podcast. That's a Baptist pastor named Charles Stanley in Atlanta, Georgia, a tremendous preacher of the Word of God. He's 80-something years old, but I tell you what, if you want to get grounded and get excited for the Word of God, I mean, you got to listen to this guy, gty.org. That's a guy named John MacArthur, a tremendous preacher of the Word of God. And by the way, we don't have to agree 100% with everybody to learn from people. And I think that we're so, you have to do this and do this, or I'm not going to listen to you at all. I think sometimes that can be to our demise. And as you listen to some of these things, let me encourage you to subscribe to some of these podcasts. It won't hurt you to listen to some preaching more than just on Sunday. You're driving down the road, get in the car and turn on some preaching. I mentioned the YouVersion app before. On my way here in the morning, I like to listen to the proverb of the day. I can just put in my earpiece and listen to the proverb there. And I'm going to tell you this, guys. It is intentional that we are going to develop our faith. How have you intentionally developed your faith in the last 60 days? Intentionally. Number four, limit your time around people and things that make you lose faith. Limit your time around people and things that make you lose faith. That person that it's like the world's falling apart, God can't do anything. Can't spend our time around those people, honestly, because it makes me lose faith. I can't be around people that are always doubting and always, no, I want to be around people that say, you know what, God's on the throne and we can do something for God. I want to be around people that say, look, God is still working in people's hearts, God is still growing people, God is still able, the darker the night, the brighter the light, and we can do something for God. And we have to be smart enough to understand that we have to be around people that grow our faith. We're the exact same people we are 5 years ago, apart from the things we read, the people we're around, and the things we watched and listened to. We're the same people we were 5 years ago, apart from the things that we have read, the people that we've been around, and the things that we watched and listened to. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 6, "As ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." How are you growing your faith? You want to experience your faith? You want to experience faith? It will never happen apart from this book. It never, never, never will. Church, the Word of God, preaching podcasts. Look, let's grow our faith together. Finally, number three, and we're finished. Let's look at the enduring of faith. The endurance of faith. When you get intentional about growing your faith, there will be people that your faith will be passed on to. And when our faith is passed on, there will be an enduring of our faith. Christianity started 2,000 years ago. And I know you can talk about before that with everyone, I understand that. But Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago and died on the cross. And that divided time. Not only that, that started Christianity. And there are two reasons why Christianity has stood the test of 2,000 years. Number one, because Jesus said it would. In Matthew chapter 16, he said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Amen, Jesus said that. But also, number two, there's been a few people, and more than a few people, that have taken the faith seriously. And they've said, "I'm not just going to sit here and possess this, but I'm going to give this out." And I don't just mean going and giving the gospel. What I mean is discipling people and taking seriously the matter of transferring the faith from my generation to the next generation. And I don't mean this, "Well, we need to pat you on the back and go to church on Sunday. See you later." No, I mean intentionally developing relationships, getting out of our comfort zone, giving back through different ministries that will intentionally develop other people's faith so the faith will grow. Real faith will always affect other people. Letter A, faith can be passed on to others. Faith can be passed on to others. The men and women in Hebrews chapter 11 had faith that affected other people. Their faith caused them to give. The people in Hebrews chapter 11 had faith that changed other people's lives. Some 60-some years ago, a church in Vallejo and a people of Vallejo had some faith that a church needed to be established in Sassoon, Fairfield, Solano County with the gospel some 60 years ago. Look, they didn't have all the resources. They didn't have it planned out. But they believed that God wanted to do something in this place. And they had faith to start Calvary Baptist Church 60 years ago. And when the church got started, it wasn't easy. The church couldn't pay the bills. And people would pick up the bills and pay for those. And we understand that story. But I'm saying this. Those people had faith, and me and you are recipients of that faith. Some people had faith, and they believed that God could do it. And because they believe that, we are experiencing, and we are riding on the coattails of their faith. This is what I'm saying, folks. I'm saying that we need to take our faith from where it is, and we need to pass it on to other people. And we need to understand that this whole process of Christianity growing and the faith being passed on, it has to be intentional. And as I develop my faith, as I'm growing in the Word of God and I'm reading the Scriptures, people are going to see that and people are going to grow from that. I think about Jude. This is all through the Scriptures. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, "Beloved, then I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith." Watch this. "Which is once delivered unto the saints." It was delivered unto them and they passed it on to us. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." So we have grandma, mom, and now we have child with the faith. And parents, obviously I'm not a parent, but raising up your kids in the faith and passing on the faith to your kids, there is no more precious and valuable thing than raising up children in the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 1, "And to Timothy, mine own son in the faith." Acts chapter 1, verse 15. "In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number and names together were about 120. And here we have 120 people in Acts chapter 1. And we see the faith is just growing and growing and growing. And it goes from 3,000 to 5,000 to multitudes. And I'm just saying that there are people that had real faith in the book of Acts. And it was passed on to other people. I think of some people in this room. I think of somebody in this room right now. I'm not going to say their name, but a young adult here, a year ago, not in the will of God, not saved, not spiritual, anything like that. Last year they've gotten saved, they've gotten baptized, and now they're giving back at 11 o'clock through Main Street Live in the Children's Ministry every single Sunday morning. I think of somebody else. Same deal. A year before, same situation. Been saved, baptized, now they're giving back through the bus ministry. A young adult. And I could go on. I can say more. I told you guys earlier about the guy that got saved yesterday. Believe it or not, he's got a Division II football scholarship. He'll be out of here in 6 months playing for a football team in Minnesota. But I think about how he came to church was because somebody in the past, another young adult, a different one, that was saved, baptized, discipled, he brought him to church for 3 weeks. And now get this, that guy a year ago that got saved, baptized, discipled, brought his friend, he's going to start discipling his friend next week. I'm just saying, guys, this thing can really happen, but we have to pass it on. We have to pass on the faith and let her be and we're finished. Without faith, we'll never please God. Does anything else matter? I mean, really. If we are super gifted people, if we are super gifted leaders or super gifted whatever, but we don't please God, does it matter? If we have the nicest car in the lot, but we don't please God, really doesn't matter. If I sit up here and everything is going great in my life, but I don't please God, does it really matter? If I come into church and have the nicest outfit and I look the best and have the most admiration, people say, oh, you're such a good Christian, but I don't please God, does it really matter? Hebrews 11, verse 6 says this, for without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Does that really sink in? Does that really sink in? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If our lives are not lived out in faith, we don't please God. That's what the verse says. Yes, you read your Bible last year. Yes, you read your Bible weekly. Yes, you come to church, but you're not having faith. You don't please God. Yes, you help out in a kids' ministry. Yes, you tithe. Yes, you're not using faith. You don't please God. Bottom line. Many years ago, the Declaration of Independence was signed by 56 men. Men with different backgrounds. Men with different families. Men that just had a vision for what could possibly take place. That vision for liberty. As those 56 men signed their name on the Declaration of Independence, many of those men would die. Many of those men, their money would be taken. Many of those men would lose many things because of signing on that dotted line. But those men in faith signed on the Declaration of Independence, their signature. And with that signature, they birthed liberty so we can enjoy it. How about you? How are you exercising faith? How are you experiencing faith? What are you doing tonight in faith? There might be some people that are on the other side of your obedience, but you first have to sign your name on the dotted line. Hebrews chapter 11, a great chapter, no doubt. But may I say this? That faith can be passed on through your life. We will never move forward in our spiritual life without having real faith. Let's have a word of prayer together.